With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Take it all away, and if they get there, you know, what exactly does it mean? We'll get into those type things with, especially in the 7 o'clock hour, Corey McCartney. Will join us from the Braves Fox Sports South Network, and he'll join us, and we'll talk some Braves and also talk some of the playoffs as where they go from this point moving forward. We know a lot of people want to talk college football today, and my goodness, what are your thoughts on what transpired yesterday in Athens? Man, and I'm out of town. I'm traveling with Georgia State, and we're up in Coastal Carolina. But before, you know, we go to take on Coastal Carolina, we're watching the Georgia game, obviously, to just see, you know, they're down in this game. Can they come back? Can they get in? Things just sputtered, just didn't go the way we expected to go for this Georgia team, especially being ranked so highly and the way we've seen them play so far this season. We saw some miscues. We saw Jake Fromm with some miscues. We saw some assignments that, you know, maybe could have done differently with some other decisions being made, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Defense, to me, you know, played a good game. Played a good game. South Carolina had to go with two different quarterbacks, had an injury to the starter. And so you figure, can this team keep rolling? Can they keep maintaining it with that happening? And to their credit, they did. They kept rolling along. But the things that have been so reliable for Georgia with the offense, the running attack, when in doubt, you know, run it. Fromm's, you know, capability when he does throw, the three interceptions, obviously that hurt. And then for Blankenship, you know, the missed field goal. But it, you know what, it shouldn't have come down to that anyway. But anyway, he's been cash money for you. So, I mean, you can't be upset with your kicker. He misses one, had a little bit of a difficult day, but he's been steady Eddie, you know, for Georgia. So 20-17, the final score, South Carolina with the win. I mean, the numbers for Fromm, 28-51, 295 yards, one touchdown and three interceptions, and one of those was brought back for a touchdown for South Carolina. And what does it prove to me? It proves that you're in the Southeastern Conference and you're getting down to that part of the schedule where everyone's had a chance to see what you have. That there's no first two or three weeks of the season where people are still figuring things out. People have seen what you do, and people have seen weaknesses. And if those weaknesses are, you know, come out and they're, you know, made evident, they'll be exposed by teams with the talent to do it. I mean, when we talk about South Carolina, we always say, oh, that's a team that's, you know, Georgia's been taking their lunch money for a while here. And you figure, okay, well, Muschamp's out there. It's always going to be a middle of the pack. That's where they're always going to be. They're not going to be a big threat. And this team's probably going to be the same thing. But yesterday proves that in this conference, if you come out flat and provide another team in the conference an opportunity, and they're opportunistic and they got the personnel to seize the moment, that's what happens. And that's what happened to Georgia yesterday. The longer you allow a team like South Carolina, we're supposed to be here. Georgia didn't do what they were supposed to do. They didn't take them out of the game, especially playing at home. Kind of threw back to like years ago. Georgia and South Carolina used to play, and the games used to kind of be kind of ugly. You have ugly scores in the games because it seemed like both teams would be so tight and tense when they played. Because everybody knows everybody. I mean, South Carolina traditionally, I haven't looked at their roster this year, but traditionally South Carolina always have about 18, 19, 20 players from the state of Georgia on that team. And it's, you know, be kind of like old home week. And guys, you know each other or played against each other growing up or played on the same team with each other, and now you got to go up against them. And it should be a little tense. And the play of the game would reflect it. I don't think that's what happened this time. I think Georgia just came out and some moments presented themselves in South Carolina and said, you know what, if you're going to give us these opportunities and you're not going to take us out of this game, we're going to hang around and see if we can't get this win. And to me, that's what happened. Now, what does it mean in the big picture? It's not like they lost to, you know, a team that's at the bottom of the conference. You know, that's for sure. Are they going to take a hit in the polls? Yeah, Georgia's going to take a hit. But because of their schedule, they got more than enough time to catch back up and to still play their way into the playoff. They run the table, they're in. You know, you run the table the rest of the way in the East, you make it back to Mercedes-Benz Stadium, you take on Alabama, you got a shot at them. I mean, it's still all there for Georgia. You just didn't want to see a hiccup come along the way in this two overtime loss. And so 20-17 is the final score. It wasn't what we wanted to see. Wasn't what a lot of people wanted to see happen with the Georgia team. But that's what's happening. Maybe, you know, it's a wake up. It's a wake up for sure. You know, if you're going to play in this conference, you got to bring it every week. It doesn't matter who you're going to be playing. Next up, Kentucky. Now, you know Georgia's going to bring it for Kentucky. I think that happens. Some people may have seen, you know, things as a bit of a trap game. And we'll get into that thought as well as we talk a little bit more college football coming up in just a few minutes. Of course, what happened with some of our other teams in the area, and even share with you a little bit about a trip to the beach with South Carolina, up in South Carolina at Myrtle Beach yesterday with Georgia State getting their win. We'll talk about that some as well coming up. Baseball playoffs are rolling on. We're into the championship series for each league, and unfortunately, our team is not there. Nats are up 2-0 on Cardinals, and I don't know if anybody saw this coming, but the Nationals went 3-1 yesterday. They're up 2-0 on St. Louis after a 3-1 win. And the American League, Yankees blanked the Astros 7-0. I don't know if we see that again, if that becomes a thing in this particular series. As we're looking at that one as being the two teams that we expected to see in the ALCS, they will play game two tonight. So in addition to all the football that we have today, we got, you know, baseball coming up later on today as the Yankees have a 1-0 advantage over the Astros in their best of seven. We're also racing down the road. And oh, by the way, if you're planning on traveling west on I-20 today, I suggest you get started now. If you wait a couple of hours, you will have a very difficult time getting through if you're traveling toward Birmingham anyway, that you have to pass Talladega. It is a race day in Talladega, and the traffic is like none other to get to that track. It's usually always a big crowd. We're into the playoffs right now. I'm sure a lot of folks from our neck of the woods are going to go over because our home folk, Chase Elliott, is on the pole for the race today at Talladega. Alex Bowman is Hendrick Racing teammate, is on the outside of row one, and it's always a fast race. It's always, you know, an exciting race, and at some point, we have the big one, and hopefully everybody survives it just fine. That's what we expect from racing at Talladega, right? Restricted plate racing. So that's going on later on today, I think 1 o'clock start time over there. So, you know, if you're headed over, going west on I-20, leave early. If not, just wait till after 12 noon, and everybody's into the track. That's what I suggest to you if you have to drive in that direction today, because it will get bumper to bumper if you wait about an hour or so from now and decide you want to go west on I-20 through the state of Alabama, somewhere you need to go over that way. You're going to have a hard time getting there, and it's always that way when it's race day over there. But that's happening later on today as well. Also, our Atlanta Falcons are happening later on today. And, of course, you know, we got everything start. Our pregame show is at 2 o'clock here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Kickoff at 4 o'clock. Falcons and the Arizona Cardinals. And the team has spent the week out that way. Just they went from Houston and just kind of stayed on the road. And maybe this time is good. Maybe this time is good for the team. Some good team meetings, some good practices. The things that happen when you're on the road, And maybe that can be good for them today against an Arizona team that they should be able to get a win against. They should. We've seen some other teams we felt like they should have gotten wins against. But I think they get a win today, 4 o'clock against this Cardinals team. Kyler Murray, obviously a Heisman Trophy winner, is your quarterback there. And what can you do to shake him up and get him rattled? To me, that's the main thing you want to do against this one. And then let's get some consistency with this offense. Let's get some consistency in the run game. Let's get some consistency in the pass blocking to give Matt Ryan some protection and some time. You want to see those things. That lets you know that the Falcons are moving in the right direction and getting some wins. You want to break out of this 3-game tailspin that we're in. Not a good look. And the schedule only gets tougher. Yes, after this second straight road game, you're going to come home. But my goodness, you're going to come home and face the Rams. And then after that, the Seahawks, before you get to your bye week. I've tried to maintain and tried to be, upbeat about this as I can, especially with my friends and coworkers here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. That, as long as we get things by the middle of October going in the right direction, we still haven't played a division game yet. And still trying to hang on to that if I can. Because it's a fact. You can get things turned today. You take these next two at home some kind of way, one of the next two at home. You get into your division. I mean, you don't have a lot of room for error. You got to go out and you got to get them finished. You still have in the back half of the schedule. You still got an AFC contest coming up with Jacksonville. You still got a tough road game with San Francisco, who they are just rolling right now. But, you got to go out today and handle your business today and get the win. So that's what's coming up here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Pre-game show at 2 o'clock, kickoff at 4 o'clock. And then this evening, the Sunday night game, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Los Angeles Chargers. We can join that one in progress when the Falcons are all done. That is your NFL lineup coming up here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game later on today. Up next, let's get more into college football. Let's look at what some of the top teams did and where Georgia may land when these new polls come out. That and more is going on as we continue on this game day Sunday morning. Here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you. Nia flows up in the Kia Studios on the day after. Man, Georgia Bulldogs suffer that defeat 20-17. The sun will come up. We hope it comes up today. Next minute, a little rain in the forecast. But it's still a lot of football to be played. Yeah, they're going to take a hit in the rankings, but there's still a lot out in front for this team. So we will see what happens as far as this game. Big disappointment, 20-17, the final score. Tell you what, after this disappointing loss, let's hear from Coach Kirby Smart.
We have to play better in space. We have to be a better tackling team, and that comes from perimeter runs from running backs. Not pleased with how we have played as far as contact and contact toughness.
That's Coach saying he wants to see his team be a little bit tougher. With contact, I guess, the physicality. Wants to see his team be a little more physical in what they do in the game. I mean, they racked up almost 470 yards total offense. That's the thing against South Carolina. But South Carolina got what they needed when they had to have it, and they come out with the win, and Georgia has its first loss of the season. I'd like to get your thoughts on it. You want to text us on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 447-410-929. A call us, joining the conversation at 404-741-0929. I think Danny's on the line for us. Let's check in with him this morning. Danny, good morning. Welcome to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, good morning, Sam. I tell you what, after yesterday's upset, I'm wide awake this morning. Wide awake.
you and a lot of people, I think.
You and I have a lot of sports memories. You remember in 1984 when Kevin Butler kicked the 60-yard field goal to beat Clemson? You remember that?
Yeah, I think that was – is that the one when Munson broke his chair?
He broke his chair a lot of time. I'm just going to ask you a question. Yesterday, and I was shocked, it was an opportunity for a 60-yard field goal to win the game on Rodrigo with his leg and everything. He's on the field kind of warming up and trying to get Coach to look at him. and they go for the Eel Mary pass. And I was shocked. He did not get a chance to kick that. I don't know why. It was a shocker. So that's what I was going to get your try to get your editorial comments on. The last thing, I think people are going to be wishing Justin Fields was back in town after that performance yesterday, because Jake didn't have a very good game at all. But
do you really think that? I mean, a lot of people are tossing that around, but do you really believe that after what you see, after what you've seen from the past two seasons and this year? I mean, he had a stinker yesterday. He had a stinker yesterday for sure.
But here's my I'm going back. You know, we had the fake punt. That's another story. But here's where I always disagree with Kirby Smart. In the LSU game last year, when Jake Fromm was having a bad game, Fields didn't get a chance to play. And I think that's why he transferred. He just never got a chance to get on the field in a big game and play. But I know that that was last year and Fields developed and everything, but I'm not one of the guys that gets out there and, you know, hammers the program and everything. But that decision on the field goal, I wonder what you thought about. I was dying to call you what you thought about that. Why didn't he get a chance to kick that?
Yeah.
But, hey, have a great show, great day and show, and always appreciate you, Stan.
All right, Danny. Always great to hear from you. You know what? That's a choice, and I think some decision. I think this other thing that factors into what happened to Georgia in general yesterday was decisions that were made. You got him a 60-yard field goal. That's a pretty long one, and maybe they just weren't feeling a good vibe about him. And did that play into him missing the 41, the fact that they didn't have the confidence to line him up and at least attempt it at that time? Did that play a little bit of a role when he misses that 41-yard field goal attempt? The fact that, you know, maybe he like the confidence wasn't there in him. So many things you can think about after a game and what it might have meant. You know, but the decisions that are made, coaches ready to roll with it. You're going to go, you're going to just throw it up there a long time, and you know your quarterback is not having the best of days. So what are your real chances? Do you still want to go with your quarterback even when you know he's not having a great day? Or do you want to line up and give that kick? I think those are probably some things that they tossed around, and they figured, you know what, let's go with Fromm. Let's see if something magical can happen and pull it out, maybe, rather than try that field goal attempt. Or, you know, regardless of what you're thinking, you know, Rego Blankenship misses that 42-yarder, and Georgia comes away with a defeat. Interesting to hear some people say that about Fields. There's a lot of stuff on social media I read, you know, last night about you know, Fields wouldn't have done this or Fields wouldn't have done that. And maybe not. But, I mean, you know what Fromm has done. He's a proven product. He's a proven winner. You know where he's taking this team as a starting quarterback. And you know, but everybody has an off game, a game where they don't produce their best. I mean, people have talked about Trevor Lawrence this year. Last year, he couldn't do anything wrong. This season, people have seen some games where he's come out with some weaknesses. Of course, he's got a lot of weapons around him. He doesn't have to go out and win games for Clemson, other people around him. And the same is true for Jake. A little different over in Alabama. You know, to me, you find a way to get some good coverage against Alabama and frustrate Tua. That running game, to me, is still suspect over there. You just got to get a team with the right personnel, and Tua come out, you know, having a flat day. Yeah, and that's, to me, that's the biggest thing that the Georgia game shows. You got to bring it every week. You can't have the off week, especially now that you're in the conference play. You played your cupcakes early in the season. You know, now you're into your conference and into your division in the conference. You got to go out and you got to deliver and you got to get the wins. So while Georgia falls, we look to see what happens when the rankings come back out. If you're forgetting, you know, Georgia and Ohio State were kind of tied for the 3 spot in the AP poll. It's 3 and 4 in the coaches poll. You see some things that happened yesterday. Were you impressed with Notre Dame's win over Southern Cal? Some folks may or may not like that, so they may drop down. Trying to figure how far Georgia may come down here. LSU with the win over Florida definitely will move up, and they will probably take that spot that Georgia had. I would think we'll see LSU move to that. How far down does Florida drop? And does Georgia drop farther than Florida? That's going to be interesting to watch and see just where that ends up when that all works out. Oklahoma, meanwhile, had to hold off Texas. That was that should be good for them, bringing them up into the top five. In one poll, they were already in the top five. But to me, those are the things that you're going to watch for today when the when the polls come out. You know, we're not to the point where we get to the playoff poll, but it's just the rankings and see where they are. I mean, they're trading places around. I mean, Clemson got dropped down to number two for coming close to losing. They didn't lose. They still won. They're still undefeated. 45-14, they get the win over Florida State yesterday, by the way, Clemson. No problem there against the Seminoles, and they're a perfect 6-0. Alabama with a 47-28 win at Texas A&M. And this Texas A&M, Texas A&M team that everybody thought was going to mount a challenge and be a test for Alabama in the West is now 3-3. Yeah, so Jimbo's team not doing what people thought they were going to do. Bama, the perfect 6-0 with the win and a record-breaking day for Tua yesterday, a quarterback. Like I said, you know, to me, moving through there, and that's, to me, that's never been Nick Saban's choice. He always liked to move it on the ground, no matter who the quarterback is, no matter how much talent he has at the wide receivers. They do have a lot of talented receivers over there who can do things with the football after they catch it. They put on there. They are quite a show. But if you got some guys that can go out and do some coverage and get some heat on too, and I know that's easier said than done, you know, they still don't look unbeatable. And that's the thing about it. I don't know if we've seen a team that truly is as impressive as Clemson has been, you know, but they win again yesterday. The Florida and LSU game, Baton Rouge after dark. That's where LSU wants you. They got you right where they want you. 42-28, the final score, as LSU just continues to roll. Now 6-0, so look to see them climb in the ranking going forward. Notre Dame, we saw them 30-27. They just get by. The Southern Cal team, do they stay where they are? Do they go up, beating an unranked Southern Cal team? That's what a lot of people complain about Notre Dame's schedule. They have a schedule loaded with teams that traditionally would be nationally ranked, but not this year. So that's the other thing that kind of hampers them as far as any hopes for postseason goes. Wisconsin stated their case to be considered in the mix. They take out Michigan State 38-0, and they look impressive once again in doing it. Great defense, great running game. Wisconsin's just rolling right now. We mentioned Oklahoma with a 34-27. They had a big lead on Texas and just had to hold Texas off in the second half. But Oklahoma didn't. A big thing in that game, I guess, happened before the game even started. They had to go in and toss some penalty flags and get in between the teams who were doing a little jawing and maybe a little bit more. I don't know if any players hit any players, but I was reading where some officials got hit because they got in the middle of the players and some players just swung, and some of the people in the striped shirts got hit by some players in that thing that happened before the game started there, Texas and Oklahoma. Here's a little listen to how that went.
You know, I've been a part of some pretty cool rivalries in my day. You know, Iowa State for 3 years, and then obviously Michigan, Ohio State for 3 years. But this one, it takes the cake to have it at such a historic venue during the Texas State Fair. Everything that surrounds the game makes it one of, if not the best games in college football.
I mean, what's wrong with having a little Downeybrook at the State Fair? We had that happen before. Well, the State Fair, yeah, it is a big week out in Texas. It is a big week in Texas when those two teams get together and play that annual game. The last couple of years, it's been a really good ball game again because Texas is back to kind of being Texas. They're 4-2 after that loss. Back at the Cotton Bowl Stadium, a whole lot of tradition between that game and a big rivalry. And they come out, you know, Oklahoma comes out with the win in that one. So let's see how they stay in the six. They're in your top five. Do they move up to maybe four, you know, in your poll this week with Georgia dropping down? Just trying to see how this is going to reconfigure and how it's going to look. So it's going to be interesting, you know, when the new poll is released this week. Just for conversation's sake, you're looking like you're still going to have your Alabama and Clemson take your pick up toward the top. And does LSU pop up into that third spot? Do they leapfrog Ohio State? I don't know if that happens. But looking like LSU could be solidly in that number four spot with Georgia dropping a few down. Maybe, I don't know how far they would drop. The South Carolina, a team that they were supposed to beat by, what, 20, 23, 24-point favorite going into that game? So, you know, we'll see what happens as far as the polls go. It should be interesting. Great conversation. But the bottom line is Georgia, he has to regroup, get ready for Kentucky next week, and try to make sure for the duration of this season what happened yesterday does not happen again. That they come out on point, that they come out, and if they're up on a team or if it's a team they're supposed to beat, take them out of the game early and don't allow them to hang around. You can't have the miscues and the mistakes and four turnovers Fromm was involved with yesterday. You just can't have that. And now that you're in a conference schedule, because it's going to get even tougher. Obviously, you still have Florida out there. You still got Auburn out there. And, oh, by the way, you got Missouri. And don't forget about them. They're out there, too. But first, next is going to be Kentucky. All right, let's look at college football we could have coming up. We got some high school ball going up, too. We're past the halfway point of the high school season. John Nelson, GPB Sports, going to join us next. Going to get you caught up on that as well. On a game day Sunday morning, on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you. A little rain falling outside, so be careful if you're driving around the metro Atlanta area on this game day Sunday morning. All right, we talked a little NFL earlier. We talked some college football. But, hey, we're past the halfway point, if you hadn't been keeping up, folks, of the high school football season here in Georgia. We're into the part where the region games are going on, the games that determine who will be in and who will be out of the postseason. Joining us now on the waitforit.com hotline and talk a little bit about from GPB Sports, John Nelson. John, good morning to you, man.
And then Morgan Freeman was in the ad break before they brought on the high school football guy.
What's going on?
I got nothing. You're pulling duty as both sports guy and meteorologist this morning. So
you have to do a little bit of that on a morning. A lot of things are, you know, happening in town. People want to try to set things up. But thoughts about this past weekend, John? And we, you know, we're past the halfway point of the season. You guys were at Lakewood Stadium Friday night, and you know, saw May's team show that they can roll a lot. And we saw them earlier in the season have some trouble at Corky Kale against Kale in that first game, 9 o'clock in the morning. They've come away since then. That was an impressive win for them.
Yeah, it was 38-13 was the final. They were actually down 7-0 before they could blank. When you run back the opening kickoff as the first act for the TV game, you know, the TV folks aren't going to complain about an exciting moment like that. But they were down 13-3, came back and scored 35 in a row, and it was 38-13 final. And with Mays, they're in a region where it's probably five teams for four spots. Alexander, Douglas County, Mays, one of the polling schools, and so it's going to be an interesting run for them. But they found that their larger lines over Douglas County over time, the twos and threes turned into the fours and fives and sixes, and then they also had the passing game going. So they've seemingly found their offense, and they can hit you from either way. And I think that Nikita Battle and the Raiders, they're going to be a team to pay attention to as we come down the stretch.
Yeah. The number of games I was looking forward to Friday night to keep up with, one of them out in Cobb County. My goodness. You know, McEachern and Hillgrove. And it seemed like that one lived up to the hype, huh?
Yeah, and our friends at Channel 5 were there, and I imagine you've seen the video of how it ended. And 1914 final, when it looked like Hillgrove was going to have the game-winning score with a quarterback keeper knocked over the pylon, but the official said that the quarterback was out of bounds, spotted back at the one, and that was your ball game. So the Battle of Macklin Road is always fun, and one of the times that we were able to do that game, it was at Cantrell Stadium, and just the cars coming down Macklin Road from Hillgrove down to McEachern. It's like the scene in Field of Dreams right at the end when everybody's heading to the baseball field.
Yeah.
You have all the cars and all the lights and everything, and that's what that game means to that part of the state. And so just because Hillgrove gets the loss in this one doesn't mean that, you know, everything is over. I mean, obviously the tiebreaker goes to McEachern now, but you know that Coach Ironside probably will come out of there as the 2 seed, and McEacher maybe is the 1. So they'll have some home games that they'll have to travel now, probably.
They couldn't win that game because they were honoring Ken Rodriguez.
I know.
Congratulations to K-Rod.
Saw the medal around. I think he's got a medal around his neck for being a Hofer and a Hall of Famer. But now, congrats to Ken. I mean, well deserved, and what he's meant to the city. And it was really cool to see the photo of him wearing the suit and having the medal and all that stuff. So congrats to K-Rod. Well deserved.
Absolutely, absolutely. Spending some time on the waitfor.com hotline. Got John Nelson. GPB Sports, and we're just talking some high school. Another game that went down to the wire was BT and Denmark. And you know, I was looking forward to this one, too.
Well, when you have a pitch-and-catch combo like Terry Crowder has and Aaron McLaughlin and Zevian Capers, both of them headed to Auburn right now, and the boss is pleased.
I'm sure. Yes, your wife would love that.
she's quite pleased at the moment, but once again, it's always like Glenn Ross, get them to sign on the line, which is dotted. But you know, until that happens, she's still happy. But pitch and catch combo like that, as dangerous as they are, they had the lead, and then BT scores with under a minute to go, I think, in regulation, and with that region, with Marist and Blessed Trinity and Denmark and Flowery Branch.
Yeah.
That is one of the nastiest regions that we have here in the Atlanta area. And when you've got those four who are going to be going into the playoffs, I mean, you're going to have, in a couple of weeks' time, you're going to have Marist and Flowery Branch, and you know, they're going to decide it all. But to have two of those teams on the road come playoff time, so that some folks who are going to have home games, they're going to be in for some rude awakenings.
They will be. Down in Henry County, a couple of O's went in this game. The Dutch Towns O went, and the Stockbridge O went. Maybe less surprised, surprised about Stockbridge falling to Union Grove 25-20, but 27-22, Jones County, they're moving on. They're 7-0.
Hunter Coslow, one of the most unknown names, I think, to folks here in the Atlanta area. Hunter Coslow is the quarterback for Jones County, and the Greyhounds have done some really good things. I still think that Stockbridge, Dutchtown, and Jones, they're going to be making some noise, all three teams, when it comes to the postseason. But Hunter Coslow is the quarterback at Jones County. Mike Chastain, who a lot of folks may remember as the head coach of Warner Robins, who made it to Game 15 2 years in a row. He's now the head coach at Jones, and they've done some really good things, and they haven't missed a beat with a new head coach. So Jones County right now in the driver's seat in that region down there in the Southern Crescent.
Talk about a region on a matchup coming up this week. GPB Sports got a fantastic matchup, man. Tell us about it.
Sandy Creek and Cartersville, 1-2.
Yeah.
And you know, it's going to be up at Wineman Stadium. Up there off of, I'm trying to, is it exit 280?
I'm forgetting the number, but it's up there off 75.
Yeah, up there off 75, and I know that a lot of folks are going to be coming from Tyrone to take a look at T-Webb in his senior year. And, you know, once again, you had another team with a coaching change, Joey King, who coached Trevor Lawrence, and they made all their deep runs and won their titles. He's now at Coastal Carolina.
Yeah, I got to see him last night. I got to see him last night up at Myrtle Beach, up at Conway.
Good stuff. Yeah. And so, you know, is Cartersville going to keep on rolling with their great offense? I know they got a scare 2 weeks ago, I want to say, with Central Carroll, where Central Carroll was a 37-point underdog, according to Maxwell. Cartersville only won by 2, and they had to do it from behind. But a couple of scares like that probably put a good wake-up call in you, especially for a game coming up next week like we're going to have. So Friday night, 7:30, Sandy Creek at Cartersville on GPB, GPB.org, and the GPB Sports app. Pick your social media platform, like, friend, be a part of the conversation, and watch it all. And it's going to be a good one, 1-2 in the class.
Had some good games so far on Friday night on GPB. Some good matchups. Yeah,
you know, and I mean, we had Archer and Buford to be an early one in the season, and you know, when you can sit there and have games go to the bitter end, and you have a 2-point conversion in overtime, and you have those kinds of things. So it's been a fun season so far with Matt and Wayne Gandy and Hannah Gooden and myself, and It's been fun, and it's been really good to get back out into the community and be there this time of year and say hi to everybody and, you know, go to places that we hadn't been in a while, like Buford and things like that. But no, it's been fun to be back out there and cover what's going on. I just can't believe that we're this close to the playoffs already.
I know it. It flies by, doesn't it? It'll be there quick. Before you know it, you'll be over at Georgia State Stadium for the championship games. You know what I mean? Well, look, always great to catch up with you. And thanks so much for getting up. And like I said, the coffee is on the way.
I'm anticipating a knock on the door, and then I will shake hands, and then I will put the coffee back in the kitchen, and then I will return back to the bedroom for the remainder of the morning.
All right, guys. Thanks so much, John.
Be well, my friend.
All right. That is John Nelson joining us, talking some high school football. You can follow him always on Twitter. He is social at OSG Nelson, at OSG Nelson. Great to talk some high school football with him this morning. All right, coming up, top of the next hour, we're going to talk college football, tell you what all the teams from our area did as far as college football goes. And then Corey McCartney from FSN is going to join us, talk some baseball playoffs, a little postscript on our thoughts on the Braves. That's coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. You stay with us on this game day Sunday morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Braves manager Brian Snitkin is saying unfinished business. Already the mantra for the 2020 season for the Braves, just a few days after this season has ended. Welcome back, everyone, to Sunday Mornings on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sam Crenshaw with you on the other side of the glasses. Greg, we'll hear from him. Get closer to the top of the hour. You know, get a casting call. We get a little bit of Greg. He is here. But as promised, we're going to talk some baseball. And the postseason continues. It rolls on. The National League Championship Series, American League Championship Series, and the postseason rolls on. Without our Atlanta Braves, and someone joining us now on the waitfor.com outline with some thoughts about how things wrapped up and how things are moving forward. Corey McCartney from Fox Sports South joining us. Corey, good morning to you.
Hey, Sam. How you doing?
Doing okay. I've done better. I guess I've had a few days to digest what has happened with this Braves baseball team. I don't know where it has left you thinking. A lot of head scratching. And, you know, me personally, it could have been done in four games rather than even coming back home to play the fifth game. And obviously what happened in that first inning is an anomaly. You know, that's not what happened. Just the idea of having to watch it here on the home field was a painful thing. What have you done now? What have you thought? What are your thoughts after everything that is heard and been said and done?
Yeah, I mean, certainly, you know, you think about Mike Foltynewicz in that outing. And, you know, I thought the guy absolutely owned it afterwards. I thought his comments were, you know, he just put it out there. Yeah, he was more than willing to wear that. And, you know, I think the thing you have to remember, this team, as hard as that moment in that game was a take, this team's not going conceivably anywhere. I mean, they're $51 million in the books for 2020. You still have Acuna, Albies, Freddie Freeman, Mike Soroka. I mean, the core is intact. I know it's been 18 years, and I know it's frustrating for fans to watch a team that, you know, I had a lot of people tell me this, they hadn't fallen in love with the Braves team like this in a really long time, and I think that kind of made it even more frustrating because this team, it felt different. The 40-40 chase, you know, the umbrellas and all that, it just felt different, and to have it end like that, I know it was really painful for a lot of fans.
Painful for a lot of fans. We say farewell to Brian McCann, who was very grateful that got a chance to come back and finish out his career here. Obviously, he wanted more to happen with the team this time around, but just can't say enough about this guy who started his career and finished his career here as a Brave.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, to come back as he did and you know, to kind of put a bow on everything in a Braves uniform. This is a guy. I think we're gonna have a conversation whether Brian McCann is a Hall of Famer. I think it's gonna be really interesting. You know, during this time period, you think about him and Yadier Molina and Buster Posey. These guys were really the cream of the crop of this era of catching. And you know, McCann has the ring. He has that run of 20 home run seasons. He had a ton of success in a Braves uniform, and you hear from the guys he played with. I mean, he had Alex Bregman from the Astros, you know, all these former teammates of his on Twitter after he made the announcement, and just the way they talked scornfully about him. It feels very real when you hear people talk about Brian McCann and how much he means to a clubhouse.
Yeah, let's get these thoughts right now from BMAC.
No, it's time to go. 15 years of catching, and it's sad, you know, but it's time, and I knew about a month and a half ago, so.
Yeah, guy goes out, and man, guys whose career I followed back to his days at Duluth High School, so great to see him come back and finish his career in the Braves uniform. All right, a lot of questions right now, Corey, about who stays and who goes, and the biggest question I think is probably at third base with Josh Donaldson. He's definitely showed you some things this past season that you want to keep intact, would like to keep intact. What are your thoughts on him returning with this team?
I think first and foremost, he's gonna get the qualifying offer, you know, which is dropped a few hundred thousand from a year ago, just below $18 million. I think it's almost guaranteed if they can't work something out beforehand that he'll get the qualifying offer. And if you're Josh Donaldson, this is the exact reason that you came to Atlanta, was to reestablish your value and go out and test it on the market. You think after 37 home runs, nearly five a Fangraph WAR season, he's going to get a multi-year deal at this point around the $23 million range. And do they want to go, that far on a player, of his age? I think that's going to be the real question mark. Certainly, he fit in really well here. You know, he had his lull at the beginning of the season, but once he clicked, you know, everybody kind of rallied around him, had a fantastic season. But do you want to, whether or not you believe in Austin Riley at third base in the long term, but do you want to lock yourself in for a guy, you know, that's on the wrong side of 30, that's obviously had a successful season, but do you want to go 3 years or what it might take to get Josh Donaldson to wrap things up to get him at this point?
Yeah, we'll turn 34 before the end of this year. Here's some thoughts from Josh about staying here in Atlanta.
Like I said, I enjoy being here. I enjoyed my time here. I know that this organization has a bright future ahead of it.
And he thinks so, and he'd love to be a part of it. So that's one of the decisions to make. Talk about a couple other crucial ones you see, Corey, that the Braves have to make here.
Well, Nick Markakis has a $6 million option for next year. You buy him out at $2 million. He did not have the season he had in 2018 when he was an All-Star Silver Slug winner, Silver Slugger, Gold Glove winner. So you got a decision to make there. Billy Hamilton has a $1 million buyout, or I doubt the team's going to end up paying him $7.5 million for next season. Adam Duvall, he's in line to make just under $4 million for the year. So I think they have some big decisions to make in the outfield. And then from a starting pitching standpoint, I mean, Dallas Keuchel, you know, had made a big impact in a Braves uniform, but, you know, is that the guy that they want? Is that veteran presence? And, you know, Julio Teheran, $12 million option for next year. So you have another option with Tyler Flowers. So the big ones to me are out there in the outfield with Markakis, and then you have Flowers and then Teheran. Those are the three big options you're looking at, and I think they're going to really shape how this team is approaching the 2020 season.
Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline this morning with Corey McCartney. We always enjoy talking Braves baseball with this guy. You can follow him on Twitter at Corey J. McCartney, all lowercase, at Corey J. McCartney. Okay, the baseball season continues, Corey. You see the Washington Nationals not only getting to the NLCS, but now being up 2-0. This is the Washington Nationals team they promised us, four, five, 6 years ago?
I tell you what, if the Cardinals can't get hits against their starting pitching, really got to like their chances. I mean, I thought Anibal Sanchez, I mean, that was an unbelievable performance
in
game one.
Yeah, it was. It sure was.
And you knew, and if you were the Cardinals and you thought, we can't hit this guy, and now we got to face Max Scherzer coming up, and then Steven Strasburg, I mean, it feels inevitable that this team is going to the World Series, and I know that kind of is salt in the wound for Braves country after watching what unfolded at SunTrust Park. But I mean, this Nationals team is really good, and they were built for this. You know, they were built for a situation where you could go with, you know, the top end of your rotation and really rely upon them. Anthony Rendon, Juan Soto. I mean, this team is deep, it's loaded, and it was absolutely built for this.
And that was supposed to happen with Bryce Harper. He goes away, and look at what happens.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't think you ever heard that Bryce was a clubhouse cancer or anything along those lines, but it's interesting. Sometimes just when a team gets away from that focus, you know, on a person, you know, not necessarily people used to talk about the Patrick Ewing effect, you know, how much the Knicks, even when he would go down, they would, you know, put together those better runs. But not necessarily to that degree. It wasn't a cancer, but I think it was just to get away from it and not have that as a constant in their clubhouse to talk of was he coming back or not. I think it was able allowed them to just find a different groove. And when you can rely on that pitching, I mean, this team is special.
Any way the Cardinals get back into this thing, I think, I don't know, you know, people, because they knocked us out, and now it seems like they've gone flat.
I just don't see it happening. I mean, I think the fact that they used Flaherty, I think, so long in Game 5 against the Braves, I think is coming back against them. Certainly he's going to have an opportunity to have a say in this series, but it just feels really daunting from their end to think that you're going to be able to beat Strasburg and then flip it around and, you know, Patrick Corbin, and then you got to, you know, go right back into it with Scherzer again. That's why this Nationals team is so tough, because you have to go through the teeth of that rotation each and every step of the way through a series.
Yeah. Over in the American League now, I don't think we saw this first game coming either. When you think Houston, you think pitching, losing 7-0 to the Yankees.
And, you know, suddenly, you know, that ball that we talked about, where were all the home runs at? Well, apparently they were in the Yankees' back pocket, because, you know, they broke them out last night, with Gleyber Torres and, Giancarlo Stanton, Urshela. I mean, this is where the homers were. I mean, that Yankees team the lineup is just so potent. The fact that you think about what matters most. Is it matters most to be rested in these playoff series? Or does it matter to kind of have your guys rolling each and every step to stay in that rhythm? I think the fact that the Rays took the Astros to the brink, I think that certainly played into the Yankees' favor, and we saw that last night. That was power. I mean, they just showed the potency of that lineup.
I'm with you. I don't think anybody saw the Rays jumping up and doing what they did. That was probably the biggest surprise of all in this postseason so far.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that this Astros team looked like the best team in baseball the entirety of the season. And, you know, when you had to use Verlander again, when you had to use Gerrit Cole, and Gerrit Cole was unbelievable. When you had to use Gerrit Cole like that, and it took away the guy that was, going to be able to start game one for you, and you had to lean on, not that Zach Greinke is not good, it's just that he's not to that same level. And I think the Rays really took them out of their game plan going into what they thought was going to be a cakewalk into the ALCS.
Yeah, not happening at all. So we see what happens with that one. We got Verlander going tonight with Paxton against Verlander, a primetime game tonight. Can he help the Astros bounce back?
Yeah, I mean, I think what you saw from him last time, that was an anomaly. I mean, we know how good Justin Verlander has been in the postseason. You know, that there's a reason that we're talking about this guy, you know, being in line for another Cy Young Award at his age. So I think he's going to be able to lock it in for them a little bit. I would not be surprised to see the Astros just pull up and even this thing out this evening.
Can you look and give us a prediction? Who are you going to see in this World Series? And will, because it was the two teams we expected in the American League, is a thing, whoever makes it from the American League is going to win it?
I think it's going to be the Astros and the Nationals. And, you know, part of that is just I want to see Max Scherzer against Justin Verlander and go back to their, you know, days together in that Tigers rotation. Aníbal Sánchez was a part of that too. I think the Nationals, to me, I think that's the team to beat. I know that the Astros were so good all year long, but I think when you have the amount of starters they have that can go so deep, and if Sánchez is the wild card, and he's, you know, his last two performances have been great, if he's able to pull that off one or two more times in this postseason, I don't think it's without question. I think the Nationals are going to go from a wild card. We've had six wild card teams have made the World Series. I think they're definitely in line to be number seven.
Man, we'll watch for that. Who saw that coming? Corey, thanks so much for getting up and dropping some knowledge and spending some time with us on this Sunday morning.
I appreciate it, Sam.
Always good catching up with you. Thanks a lot. It's Corey McCartney. Don't forget, you can follow him on Twitter at Corey J. McCartney, all lowercase. Keeping an eye on the Braves and also Major League Baseball playoffs with Fox Sports South. All right, we come back. Maybe talk a little more baseball, but there's some other things happening on the other side of the water. There's even some NASCAR going on. We'll get up to that. And Coco Gauff, she's about to take the court in a few minutes. That and more we continue on this game day Sunday morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. 92.9thegame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you. 9 floors up in the Kia Studios, looking out at some clouds in the distance as I look north. Well, let's not let that put a damper on today, huh? Of course, Falcons coming your way later on today. Is it a game day Sunday? We got the Falcons and the Cardinals coming up. Pre-game at 2 o'clock, a kickoff at 4 o'clock, and we'll get more into the NFL as we get into the 8 o'clock hour. Russell Baxter will join us, and we will talk a lot about NFL and the Falcons and what they're going to have to do to regroup and get a win today on the road. All right, there are a lot of things happening, and once again, we thank Corey McCartney for joining us and talking some baseball, getting us set. Of course, the Yankees and Astros will play tonight. There's just one game that's going on this Sunday evening. Across the pond, there are a number of things going on. Let's see. We've had the Japanese Grand Prix already. Valtteri Bottas won that. Lewis Hamilton comes in third. That's done. In Austria, the women's tennis tour is there. And we mentioned in the women's tennis tour because Coco Gauff, at 15 years old, has made it into the final of her first WTA event. Earlier this week, she cracked the top 100 in the world. Yes, she's already ranked in the top 100 in the world at 15 years old. We saw her play tremendous tennis at Wimbledon and also at the U.S. Open. And now she's facing Yelena Ostapenko in a match that's due to start around 8 a.m. our time. To try to get her first WTA title. And you know what? No matter where it is, if it's a regular tour stop or one of the major tournaments, her approach is always the same.
I think I can beat anyone who's across the court. And if I don't think I can win the match, then I won't even step on the court.
That's her thought. And I think that was after Wimbledon this past summer. And that's just her approach. And it has worked quite well for her. And like I said, at age 15, I think she wins today. I think she doesn't have to worry about going through qualifiers for the Australian Open, which will be the next probably big event on the schedule for her. She probably has one more tournament she may get to play, possibly. But remember, she's on a limit as to how many tournaments she can play because she is 15 years old. Once her next birthday comes around, which is in March of next year, they will add more tournaments that she will be eligible to play. So that's the thing. And she's earned some cash. She's earned a few hundred thousand, but that's not the most important thing for her at this age. She has endorsements. She's going to clear a whole lot more than that end of the year. But the idea is, you know, these are tournaments that a lot of people don't pay a lot of attention to, because once the U.S. Open ends and football season starts, and now we you know, got baseball playoffs going on and hockey season has started and NBA is about to crank up, you kind of lose track of where the tennis schedule is, and most of the tournaments are played either in Europe or in one of the Asian countries. So she's playing in Austria this week, and I think there's one more event in Europe that she may play in next week, and I think she will probably have played up her complement, I think, for this year. Then the Australian Open, of course, comes after the holiday, so we'll see as we start off the new year. So outstanding young lady, of course, you know, grew up here in Atlanta for a number of years before she turned like 8-9 years old. I think then her family moved her to Florida. So great, and hopefully at some point during the holidays or some point she gets to come back here and visit us. It'd be great to see her come back to Atlanta and just visit, just so folks can say hello to Coco. She does some tremendous things. Also talking tennis for a minute, Naomi Osaka, who has maintained dual citizenship between the United States and Japan, says she will go full citizen of Japan for the coming year to represent them in the Olympics, which will be in Tokyo. I think if you've had dual citizenship, I think when you reach the age 22, Japan says, okay, you got to decide where you're going to be. And so she's going to go with that. And that's, you know, you figure, you know, she's one of the high profile athletes from Japan right now. So obviously to have her be a part of the Olympics next year would be big, 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 with them being in Tokyo. So that was announced this week. She's 22 years old now, so Naomi Osaka will play for Japan. And, of course, you start figuring how the U.S. Women's Olympic team is going to be configured. The Williams sisters have said they'd like to play in the Olympics one more time. And they've had a tremendous record in the Olympics. So we'll see what happens if they make it in. Serena should have no problem getting on that team. Venus, you know, individual rankings have dropped, so we'll have to see, because now you got the 15-year-old whose rankings are on the way up. And by next summer, she may be in the range to be one of the American players on the Olympic team. How would that be? 16 years old, you're playing tennis in the Olympics. Just an amazing, amazing time for Coco Gauff. All right, remind you also coming up today, later this afternoon, the engines will fire down the road at Talladega as NASCAR rolls into there for the fall race. And our home folks, Chase Elliott, on the pole for the race today at Talladega. Alex Bowman outside of row one. A big excitement. I mentioned earlier in our show, if you're going west on I-20 and you need to get over toward Birmingham or somewhere, you got to go by Talladega. You need to be on the road now if you want to get by before the race traffic gets over there. The racing traffic is terrible when you get over there. So I'm just saying, if you're going through and you want to get toward Birmingham and the other side of the state, you need to be driving. Now, if not, just chill and wait till after 12 o'clock and wait till everybody gets into the track, and then you can drive through because that's what race day is like on I-20. Martin Truex is your overall points leader. Kyle Larson leading the playoff standings along with Truex, Denny Hamlin, and Kyle Busch as they get set to race. This always excitement, always, you know, on the edge of your seat when you watch the races there at Talladega. The restrictor plate races are just a little bit different. They race in bunches. They're up at the tremendous speed, and that's the thing that you watch for. And usually there is a big one. You want to call it a big one. Usually the wreck that takes out about half the race, half the field, 10, 15 cars. You know it's going to happen at some point during the race. You just hope nobody gets seriously hurt or doing that. That's all a part of racing at Talladega. So Elliott's up front. That can be good on that track. And some people say it makes no difference where you start when you race at Talladega. We'll see how well he manages it there today. Got the Hendrick Racing cars up front and see if they can be there at the end. It should be interesting. Always a challenging time when they race at Talladega. As we get on down into the playoffs and the season winds down and see who's get there. But, of course, this is a big one, and people want to get there and get the win for that. But we mentioned earlier also that the F1 was over in Japan, and they already ran. I think they started that thing around 12:30 in the morning, 1 o'clock our time is what time that one started. So it's done. Valtteri Bottas was the winner of the Japanese Grand Prix, and Lewis Hamilton started fourth, finished third in that particular stop, the Japanese Grand Prix. So that was coming up. That's coming up today. Don't forget, we got Sunday morning NFL coming up, 9:30 game time, Carolina Panthers, Tampa Bay Bucks, a division game being played overseas, and a little early football for you on this Sunday morning. You get up, get your cup of joe or whatever you like to do, and the football starts early today. And we'll see what happens with that game also because of the quarterback situation at Carolina. We'll see what that one, and we'll see which Jameis Winston got off the plane. Was it the good Jameis that got off the plane? Is it the so-so Jameis that got off the plane? Is it the flat-out terrible Jameis? We've seen all three, and we're curious to see which one lines up today and plays in that game. That gets kicked off of a busy, busy Sunday of NFL action. Some interesting matchups coming up today. Some interesting matchups between two of the premier quarterbacks in the league, and that's happening. New Orleans continues. We'll talk about where they are today. And, of course, we'll talk about where our Atlanta Falcons are today and if they're going to have the things go their way today. They can get facing a rookie quarterback, talented but young. Can they do some things to frustrate him and get him out of what he likes to do? But can we handle our own business on offense? Just go out and protect the quarterback the way we should. Try to get enough of the run game going to sustain some drives. Those are the things that we just want to see. And as I said early in the season, I'd like to see the first offensive possession end with 6 points rather than three. That's what I'd like to see once again today. It'll let us know the Falcons are off to a good start. All right, coming up, going to take a break for a casting call. I think we're going to get Greg to come from the other side of the glass and join us for a minute. So you stay tuned for that. That's coming up next on this Game Day Sunday here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Told you I'd be right back, huh? It wasn't going long. On this Sunday morning into our third hour, so glad that you are with us. Sam Crenshaw, 9 floors up in the Kia Studios on a game day Sunday because our Falcons are playing. And, of course, we got Greg, who's been on this side of the glass, but now he's back on the other side of the glass as we continue this morning. Of course, we're looking forward to a day of NFL football as we lament still yesterday and what happened in Athens, Georgia. Georgia, in case you missed it, but I think most people who were following it know, that Georgia falls to South Carolina 20-17 in second overtime. And a lot of people looking back on the what ifs, the why nots, and just wondering if some things have just gone a little bit differently. But to me, it shows what can happen when you come out flat in the Southeastern Conference. You come out flat one day and you're facing a team that has the ability and has the personnel to match up and really get involved and diffuse and really expose some of the things that you don't do well on. That's the way things can happen. Here's Coach Smart.
We have to play better in space. We have to be a better tackling team, and that comes from perimeter runs from running backs. Not pleased with how we have played as far as contact and contact toughness.
And that is Coach. He wants to see his team get more physical, just show some more toughness, and just some more resolve in that situation. You're facing a team in South Carolina, you're a heavy favorite to win that game. But as any team does, the longer they get to hang around, the more they feel like, hey, we're supposed to be here. We're supposed to be here. And to me, that's what happened with South Carolina. You're going to turn the ball over a few times. You give them new life. You get a turnover, an interception that they take back for a pick six. And that's the other thing that happens. They find a way to expose some things with your offense. And even though you gain a lot of yards, I think with that the total was like almost 470 yards total offense yesterday. Taking another look at it here. But you gain all those yards, but at crucial moments there, they come out and turn things around. 468 total yards by Georgia that the Gamecocks gave up, but still they come out with the win. So that is big. There's still a lot of football to be played for Georgia. You got some big matchups coming up, and my thing is now it makes things a little bit difficult, but not impossible, because you're in the part of the conference schedule for everyone. Everybody's in the difficult part of the conference schedule. The cupcakes are pretty much gone. Georgia has to go out and handle their business. They got Kentucky coming up next. Yep, they made their road difficult. They got to win Florida. They got to win Auburn. They got to get to the SEC championship game, the possible matchup with Alabama, and will probably have to win that in order to get in, to be a one-loss team and make it in, considering all the other teams that are still undefeated. And let's see what happens with them, too, because, like I said, as conference gets tougher for SEC, it gets tougher for everybody else, with the exception of maybe Clemson in the ACC. I don't think that gets much tougher. But things can get tougher in the other conferences, the Big 12 and then the Big Ten for sure. So we watch to see what happens with those teams. And we watch to see also in the rankings, how far does Georgia drop today? How far do you think they should drop? Give me your thoughts on that if you want to. You can text us on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, 404-741-0929, or call and join in the conversation, 404-741-0929. To talk, we want to talk some Georgia. Also talk some Falcons and some NFL today as we get set for the games that are coming up. Week 6, the National Football League. And like I said, the first game comes up at 9:30. And it's a game we're going to keep an eye on because it's a game with two teams from the NFC South. Panthers and Buccaneers are going to kick things off 9:30 our time. And a little breakfast edition. For people who follow the NFL. So that one's one we're watching out for. Eagles and Vikings, also a good 1 o'clock game. That should be a good one. Interesting to see how that turns out between those two teams and the two quarterbacks. The big story in that one, Wentz and Cousins, and see if the Eagles can get that fourth win, or will it be the Vikings getting the fourth win. Texans and Chiefs, one we've been talking about, a lot of people have been talking about this week because of the matchup of the quarterbacks in that one. Kansas City at 4-1, and the Texans at 3-2, and of course, you know, Patrick Mahomes against Deshaun Watson. They're going to be quite a display. Also, you know, the defenses will do something, especially Houston tends to have a little more edge there defensively over Kansas City. But the thing of it is, Kansas City, can they put more points on the board? Always the thing to match up. So some people think that is the best matchup of the week for the NFL. We'll check with Russell Baxter and see what he thinks. We do have some teams still looking for a first win. And one of those games is two teams that have O's in front of the other number. That's Redskins and Dolphins. My goodness. When things get much worse in Washington, well, you wouldn't think. Coaching change up there. We'll see how that team plays out the rest of the season. We also already know things have been going bad with the Dolphins in Miami. Bengals still looking for their first win. And they're playing at the Ravens, Baltimore today. See how the Ravens do as they look to bounce back today in that contest. Saints are in Jacksonville. We'll be keeping an eye on this one. Teddy Bridgewater continuing at quarterback. Can the Jacksonville defense come out and give him some complications and push the Saints into some errors today? We'll see. They're 4-1. They've looked mighty good, you know, even without Drew Brees, who once again, and he'll be back in time for us. Yeah, he will be back in time to face Atlanta. He's not going to miss playing the Falcons, folks. But the thing of it is, where will the Falcons be by that time? What will the Falcons do by the time they face the Saints for the first time in New Orleans on November 10th? To me, that's when you want to see if this team can get things rolling. And that is why the next 3 weeks are so important for the Atlanta Falcons, to me. To get the win today, just get some confidence going. Get some consistency with the offensive line. And for the defense, let's see if we can get some things straightened out in that secondary and get some pressure, as always, on a very elusive quarterback. You know that's who you're facing today with Kyler Murray. Young but elusive. And if he gets the time and can extend some plays, he can make some things happen. So that's the guy. You want to go out and take him out of some things he wants, maybe victimize him, get an interception, something early to put some doubt in his mind, and see if he can't come out with a win. You need to get this one today, because coming up next, you come back home, you got the Rams, and then you have Seattle, the big, big tough test. So this is a crucial segment of the schedule. It's all important, but this is a crucial segment of the schedule for the Falcons. To me, as they're taking on Arizona today. So let's see if they can get that win. We'll be talking about that more. Rob Tribble's coming up after I'm done here at the top of the hour. And don't forget, our pregame show comes your way today at 2 o'clock. Kickoff at 4 o'clock as we have the Falcons here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are your home for Falcons football. And don't forget, Steelers and Chargers are the Sunday night game. It'll be coming up after the Falcons broadcast. That's the game for Sunday night. We also got your Monday night game as well. Lions and Packers, 7:30 tomorrow night, the pregame, 8:15, your kickoff. You watch and see what Green Bay does against the Detroit Lions. That's coming up tomorrow. But our action today has our Falcons, and let's see if we can get a consistent running game. That's what I want to see. That, and as I always say, the first drive, let's get 6 instead of 3. To me, that's a great start for your first offensive drive. Obviously, on defense, you want a 3-and-out. You can do that. But I think you want to go out and get some points on the board and get 6 instead of 3 if you can. Today, that's what I'm looking for. We talked about the Seahawks are coming to town. They're playing the Browns today. They're playing in Cleveland. That's also a 1 o'clock start. Watch that one. We got the Rams when we come back home. The Rams are playing today against the 49ers, the rolling 49ers. And some people think that's one of the better matchups today. The 49ers at 4-0, taking on the Rams at 3-2. So that's a 4-5 start. You look to see what happens with that one. So it's going to be some interesting games to see as far as that goes. The Chargers are tonight, and the Steelers, as we mentioned, that's an 8:20 game. That's the games at the late game today. Cowboys, people following the Cowboys. They got the Jets today. Another team with an O. Cowboys at 3-2. Jets at 0-4. Oh, you're liking that one. Broncos are home at 1-4 against the Titans. Tennessee at 2-3. And gosh, we're just coming off to a setback to those guys. So they go out to Denver and see if they can get a win in that one. That was even their record for the season at 3-3. Would for Tennessee. They can get a win today. We'll watch and see if they can come away with that one. It would have things rolling in the right direction as we watch the games that are unfolding today. But those are the ones I'm looking at, probably some of the better games. Like I said, we got a couple of teams that are looking for a first win this year. But those are some of the better matchups that I think. But like I said, the bottom line is we got to handle our business today. And we're going to get that. And we're going to do that. The Falcons, let's hear from Matt Ryan.
They're young in the secondary for sure, but they're veteran, you know, at their outside linebacker position and in their sub-defense, their defensive end positions. Their edge players are guys that have been productive in this league for a long time and are disruptive with what they do. So we've got to do a great job, both in the run game and in pass protection, of making sure we're locating where they're at.
And that, of course, is Falcons quarterback Matt Ryan talking about the youth of the defensive unit there with the Cardinals and how they want to try to go out and exploit that youth. Let's see if they can do that. But in order to do that, he talked about the pass protection that needs to be there for him in order for the receivers to go out and get in and run their routes and exploit this young defensive unit they're going to be facing today, you know, for the Arizona Cardinals. So it's there for them. It's just a matter of them going out and executing. Hopefully they've had a great week away. You know, they were in Texas and in Houston. They just kept on going out west, and they've been doing their workouts and training there. A little time away, some meetings. Sometimes always good for a team to work some things out, and maybe that's a good thing for this Falcons team. Maybe it's what was needed. Possibly so. We'll see. A lot of people talk about what didn't happen with this team in the preseason and who didn't play and the amounts of time they get to spend on the field together during games. One of the guys who is there and is one of the leaders of this team, we didn't get to see him in the preseason because we know what he can do. And Julio Jones, here's what he had to say about this week.
Like, I need to fix Julio Jones first before I can go and, hey, do this and do that. And once everybody do that and collectively, if everybody get on the same page doing their job right, we'll get it going.
That's what he says. And I mean, that means obviously probably some meetings and, you know, so some conversations when you're away from home. You're not doing your usual routine, you know, during the week. You're not, you know, stuff with your family or taking your kids, carpool, that type of thing in the morning before you come to work. You know, you're not doing that type of thing. You're just there with your teammates. And it's just time to plug in. It's kind of like getting back to camp in a way. When all you do is those things with your team and really get plugged in and get your focus. And hopefully that time has been good for this team, and hopefully it means a win today. And maybe finding some things that they've had trouble finding in the last weeks, and it gets things rolling in the right direction. They need it. They need it desperately right now, especially they want to get some momentum going with this team, going into the next two games before the bye week. And then we start division play. It's crucial. It can still be done, folks, but you got to get the win today. That's what we're talking about. All right. So it's Falcons at Arizona coming up later today here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up next, we're going to talk more NFL with a guy who knows all NFL. Russell Baxter joins us next on a game day Sunday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 and 92.9TheGame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9TheGame.com. Sam Critcher with you. Cloudy skies outside. 9 floors up in the Kia Studios. Hope it won't be too wet outside today. Still, it's a game day Sunday. NFL Week 6. The guy who joins us now, of course, we got his theme music we play for him when he comes on with us. Russell Baxter joining us now. Russell, good morning.
Hey, Sam. How are you?
Great, great, great. How are you? Week 6 NFL. Let's start with our home team. Our team has spent the week out west preparing for this game today. A three-game tailspin. Sometimes a little time away like this team has had this week can be a good thing, have some team meetings and the like. What do you think about this matchup today against Arizona?
Well, I mean, the Falcons' defense is
a mystery right now. I know they have some injuries and so on, but they're not generating any kind of pass rush. We've seen that in the past. Obviously, Deshaun Watson lit them up in a big way. You know, maybe the best thing the Falcons could do is petition the NFL not to play any more interconference games. Lost all four last year. They're 0-3.
Not off to a good start this year either.
Yeah, but I mean, the lack of a pass rush, the lack of pressure, Matt Ryan. And listen, to throw 7 interceptions in a 16-game season is very, very admirable. I mean, you don't do that all the time unless you're Aaron Rodgers, who never throws 10, okay? But, we've seen some panicky passes out of him this year. We've just seen turnovers in general out of Matt Ryan. You know, the offensive line was supposed to be a strong suit for them. They put so much attention into it in the offseason, both in the draft and free agency. It's just a team that's really kind of out of sorts right now. Even the game they won against Philadelphia had to hang on for dear life at the very end.
They were. The one thing that was a pretty physical game, and they were putting on some hits, and they won that one, which was good to see. Just haven't been able to maintain it. You talk about Philadelphia. They got Vikings coming up today. Thoughts about that matchup?
Yeah, I mean, it's really a matchup of which team shows up on both sides of the ball, or I should say both franchises. I mean, both of them are 3-2. Both of them have been erratic. I know Philadelphia handled the Jets last week, but their offense wasn't sharp at all, Sam. They got 2 defensive touchdowns. Carson Wentz has been sporadic. He kind of looks like the Carson Wentz from a year ago when he wasn't necessarily healthy. Their running game has been mediocre, but better than it was the year before. Miles Sanders has been a nice pickup for them. There's no question about it. Their secondary is still an issue. And listen, they've given up, 27th in the league in passing yards. Some of that is the fact that they're once again stopping the run, but some of it, again, is the fact that they, have trouble keeping their cornerbacks healthy. You know, they got a big game from Orlando Scandrick last week. A bunch of tackles, 2 sacks, fumble return for a touchdown. And listen, when you talk about turnovers, you got to talk about the Vikings. You know, up and down and up and down and up and down. Kirk Cousins just doesn't do a good job, Sam, of protecting the football when he gets hit. We see quarterbacks get sacked. We see quarterbacks get sacked a lot. You don't necessarily see a guy who coughs up the football as many times as Kirk Cousins does when he gets hit. Fumbled 4 times in the first 2 games this year. Fumbled 9 times last year and lost 7 of them.
Wow.
You know, sometimes we look at quarterback stats and we look at touchdowns to interceptions. We don't look at total turnovers. He turned over the ball 17 times last year. So that being said, Dalvin Cook has been one of the best players in the league this season. And again, it's a great matchup. That running back against the number 1 run defense. It's funny? They both won playoff games in that building. Of course, one of them was slightly more significant.
Yeah. I'm sure you would say that, folks. Great to spend time on the WaitForIt.com hotline. This one, Russell Baxter, talking NFL Week 6. Russell, of course, a big matchup. You talk about quarterbacks. My goodness, this Houston-Kansas City game. Should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see how Houston approaches this. Obviously on the road. And listen, 3-2, they've been a little inconsistent as well. They looked at heartbreaker to New Orleans, gave up that last-minute field goal drive, came home a couple of weeks ago and lost to Carolina. They couldn't get their offense going. Against Atlanta last week, didn't see a pass rush. So Deshaun Watson kept pretty clean. But if you're the Texans, Sam, and you see what Indianapolis did with the running game last week, you know that is. We're now in our NFL 100th season. I'm still waiting for a quarterback to throw a touchdown pass while he's standing on the sidelines. Okay?
Right.
But at least not intentionally. Okay?
Right.
But does Houston come out with Duke Johnson and mostly Carlos Hyde, who's one of the most physical runners in the league, and just pound, 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 and keep Kansas City's offense off the field? It was a rough outing for them against the Colts. some of that obviously also due to the fact that Deshaun Watson got his foot stepped on, and you know, he I don't think for most of the game he was necessarily 100%, but he, ironically enough, he was on the sidelines a lot during that game because of what Indianapolis was able to do with their ground attack. Will Houston try to do the same thing?
Wow. Now that's interesting to watch out if they can put the game down and slow it down and just take some of the air out of it. Shades of Dean Smith for football. That might be what we see today.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's funny. The Redskins, it's funny you use that analogy because last year when Washington was gotten off to that 6-3 start, that's exactly, I called them the Dean Smith Four Corners offense. Okay, they played stall ball for the most of the season. When they weren't able to do that in a couple of games against New Orleans, against Atlanta last year, they got blown out. Okay? Then they weren't able to do it because they didn't have Alex Smith anymore. And now they haven't been able to do it, and now they're on a new head coach again. So, taking the air out of the ball is the oldest trick in the book. We saw the, my goodness, who did it better than the Buffalo Bills?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, the New York Giants against the Buffalo Bills in the Super Bowl. We see it all the time. You and I have talked about this, these high-scoring teams who don't play defense, and then they don't wind up winning championships. Atlanta was one of them. We saw two more teams last year. The top 11 scoring teams in NFL history in terms of points in a season, none of them have an NFL championship.
Wow. Pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing stat when you think about that. Russell, talk about this Saints-Jaguars game. Once again, another week without Drew Brees, but that seems not to bother this team very much.
No, because, you know, they're arguably, and I was asked about this one, they're arguably the most complete team in the league. And this hasn't been necessarily about Drew Brees for a couple of years. You know that as well as I do, watching, you know, the Falcons play them and so on. They shifted their emphasis. It became about Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram. And now it's about Alvin Kamara and Latavius Murray and a reliable target, Michael Thomas. And it's not about Drew Brees throwing for 5,000 yards and the team, you know, winning games 52-49, okay, because inevitably that doesn't work. And that's why I think they are able to overcome him not being there, because their offensive line is solid, their defensive line, in fact, their front seven is tremendous, spotty in the secondary at times, will give up their share of passing yards. Of course, in that division, that's not hard because of some of the passing attacks there are in the league. But, you know, and I don't think their defense has really hit stride quite yet, but you know, you look at them, how many different ways they can, what epitomized them the last 3 weeks, Sam? They won what turned out to be a shootout and pulled off the Seahawks at the end. Then they turn around and win a 12-10 game.
Yeah.
And then last week they won 31-24. When you can win various ways, okay, and you don't have a set formula that you have to score 30 points or you have to score 28 points to win, the Saints have proven that they can win a lot of different ways. Their only bad outing was when they lost Drew Brees in the middle of the game.
They've been there. They've been there. They got to start there. The other games and other game involving teams from our division here in the NFC South obviously get started here in about an hour with the Panthers in Tampa. What do you expect, if anything, to see out of this game?
Well, first things first, the only thing better than a triple header on Sunday is a quadruple header on Sunday. You know, when you're up at 9, you're able to get up at 9:30 and watch it, I feel like I'm in Hawaii, okay?
Yeah.
I'm not always in Hawaii. But, you know, we're on the West Coast being able to watch games early in the morning. You know, Carolina's look like a different football team with Kyle Allen, and that's not a knock on Cam Newton. I think that the problem with Cam Newton is he just wasn't healthy, and he was trying to play through injury. And inevitably, that just doesn't work. You know, when these teams played earlier this season in Carolina on a Thursday night, the Buccaneers made up their mind that we were not going to let Christian McCaffrey beat us. And, you know, ironically, that play came down to a fourth down, and McCaffrey trying to run wide, deep, them down, you know, in the game. They needed the fourth down, and Todd Bowles' defense was able to stop them. But you have more to worry about when you have Kyle Allen again, because he's healthy. You know, he's able to attack a little more downfield. He's made some mistakes. Again, he doesn't have a lot of experience, but they're also getting big play. Their defense is not great. But their defense has been getting big plays, takeaways, sacks, fumble recoveries for touchdowns, stops at the right time. I mean, they did all they could to hold off Jacksonville. They had their hands filled with Jacksonville last week. So that being said, Tampa Bay has been no slouch either. Jameis Winston has looked like a different quarterback since that week one debacle against the San Francisco 49ers. I expect this to be kind of a high-scoring game.
Really?
Won't be surprised if the Buccaneers complete this week.
Wow. Buccaneers get the win with Jameis, so we get good Jameis. I mean,
we had pretty much good Jameis except for the three picks, the two pick sixes in that first game of the season against San Francisco. Even in the games they've lost, he's avoided turning over the football for the most part. Again, they've been very, very up and down. That Giant game, he did everything he could to win that Giants game. They missed the field goal at the end.
He was right there. We'll see what happens with that one as well. Russell, we appreciate you as always, sharing the knowledge with us on this Sunday morning. Greg is on the other side of the glass, but he makes sure, wants me to tell you, he says hello. They're keeping him over there for a while. He's not over here in the rest of the studio with me.
You put Greg in an aquarium?
In an aquarium. he's not in an aquarium. He's just on the other side of the glass. He wants to make sure that he has had his shots, so he'll be okay. No, he's not in another aquarium.
I just want to make sure. The only other thing besides an aquarium, the only other thing I can think of under glass is a pheasant.
He's not there. He's just on the other side on there pushing some buttons and whatnot. But he wanted to make sure and tell you hello. Also, we thanks so much, and let's get started, ready for the quadruple header that starts here in a few minutes.
You got it.
All right, that is Russell Baxter joining us on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Of course, he is social at Bax Football Guru. At Bax Football Guru, talking all things NFL and some thoughts. He feels like, Tampa Bay could go over there and roll and get this win today. We're curious to see, what happens with that game, if that can come out. And some interesting things to say about the Texans. Might they let the air out of the ball and try to just hit the run game and see if they can't beat the Chiefs that way? Patrick Mahomes can't score on you if he can't get on the field. Interesting strategy. I'm sure a lot of teams think of that. They don't get to pull it off very much. Let's see if Houston can pull that off today. We caught a little Dean Smith four corners offense for the NFL and see if that can work. Those are some things that Russell just gave us a kind of thing about. As for the Falcons, clean some things up, get some run game. Better performance with Matt Ryan and just the defense. What's the mystery with the Falcons defensive unit? Let's see if they found it out in the Valley of the Sun. We'll see about that later on today. All right, Rob Tribble's at the top of the hour. We're going to come back with more sports, run down, maybe make some picks for this week's games. And then, of course, another casting call before we get out of here on a game day Sunday morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you, working our way to the top of the hour. Rob Tribble will be in then. Thanks so much for taking us along with you. If you have to ride around the area and any kind of rainy skies, if you're out on your way to Sunday services, thanks for taking us along with you. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9TheGame.com. On this Sunday morning, Sam on this side of the glass, Greg on the other side of the glass, and we'll have a casting call at the top of the hour in the next break. Let you hear about one more big production that's going on. You can go to, and that's it. Yeah. And he also suggests that, hey, you get a chance, if you haven't seen it yet, everyone should go to YouTube and check out the trailer for the movie about Richard Jewell. It will just pull you in. It will pull you in. It really would. Of course, that's produced and directed by Clint Eastwood. They shot it here in Atlanta. And Greg, if you look closely, you might find Greg. He's in there. He's in there. It's kind of not like the Sprite commercial, but he's in there. So be on the lookout for Greg, as he is involved in so many productions. Like I said, we have a big one called looking for a couple of things. We'll get to those at the top before we get out of here at the top of the hour. Okay, we mentioned earlier, and we thank Russell Baxter for joining us. In the last segment, we talked a lot of NFL. We consumed quite a bit. But one of the things he talked about when he talked about this Falcons team at 1-4, taking on the Arizona Cardinals at 1-3-1, is just the defense. The defense has been just a mystery. What is it? I know we had an injury or two, but still there's supposed to be so much talent with this defensive unit. You're supposed to be able to get better results. And Coach Dan Quinn had these thoughts of what might be on the horizon for the defense.
I'm always into, you know, finding ways to create more pressure. And when there's matchups for blitzes that you think it's worthwhile, you know, we're definitely up for doing that. We're looking at everything, you know, to get the mojo flowing of a good defense. Right now, you know, in the run game, I thought the inside guys with Grady and the guys are playing stout. But we've really got work to do to affect the quarterback.
Work to do to affect the quarterback. And, of course, the one they will face today is not a stationary target. You're going to have to find this guy. Because he's going to move around, Kyler Murray. He has that ability. He's still young, not a lot of experience at this level. So if you can make some things happen this week, it'd be great, positive. Like we said, this team is after the Texas game. They didn't come back to Atlanta. They stayed on the road. It's been a week of a bonding, week of good workouts, a week maybe of just some refocus and just to be away from the noise and things about what you don't do and really accentuate some of the things that you have done and just find a way to get more of it and at different times. I think that's what this team tries to do. Now, while there, they had a chance to unwind some while working out, while practicing, while staying focused, while having team meetings. The team did some team bonding things like going to a movie. And so according to D. Orlando Ledbetter, Julio Jones said they went to see Joker.
A review on the Joker. It looked a little scary to me.
Joker is not a scary movie. You definitely got to go see it. If you say that movie's scary, it's definitely not a scary movie.
Julio says it's not scary. He says now, you know, so that's the thing. I got things in a, made things a little bit of a different mood, a little fun to go see the movie. So a lot of people, man, a lot of people are doing different things. With I read where there are some movie theaters telling people you're not allowed to come dressed in costume if you're coming to see this movie. They won't allow it. So there are some people who have some drawbacks about it. I haven't seen it yet. But the team did see it this week as something as part of a bonding exercise, you know. And Julio had those thoughts about the movie. But it's not just about the movie now. We do have the game coming up today. That you can hear here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And the idea is to get back in the win column and get that second win of the season. And Julio had this to say about getting refocused.
Just coming together. The biggest thing, it's kind of like everybody's under one roof right now, just waking up, seeing each other every day, basically, early on. And even when we're done with work, we're still seeing each other, you know, then opposed to like, you know, everybody got family things going on at home. We go handle things, but we just still here and we just working. And we, like, even if we go shopping to dinner, just things of that nature, like every day, just to go, just to build that bond with one another.
Yep. That's what this trip can be all about. And it can be really good and technically could be a turning point of the season potentially for this Atlanta Falcons team. And all they needed was some time away just to really focus on them and shut out all the noise and then all the people who want to know why and, you know, what's wrong, and really pick out the things that they've done right and really, really try to reinforce them and add some different things to it. That's what a time like this is good for. And so as Julio Jones says, you know, hey, we're in a room together and you wake up and you see the guys, you go to sleep, you're with the guys, you know, whenever you see them, they're just spending more time together. And it's a rarity once you get into the regular season in the National Football League to have time like this. You know, you because you got your family, you got your regular obligations that you have, you know, in the morning before you go to practice or in the evenings after practice. There's certain things that you have to do with the family members that you have to get together with. Those are all things that are there, and they're always around. But when you get a situation like this where you're playing two teams out west back-to-back, you get to go and have some time. That's for you. That's just good for you and your teammates. And the Falcons have tried to take advantage of that this week. Let's hope that they have to the best that they could. They can do that. And the outcome will be a positive one, will be a win. And that is what we're looking for. We're going to have to wait a while to see it because it doesn't start till 4:05. Later on today, as part of our game day coverage here on this Sunday here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Falcons and Arizona Cardinals. Pregame show is at 2 o'clock. The kickoff is at 4. You can hear that here. And, of course, joining in progress tonight, the Sunday night game will be the Pittsburgh Steelers and the L.A. Chargers. Follow that in progress after the Falcons game, hopefully after a Falcons victory, and after you get to call in and express your excitement and enjoyment of the Falcons victory, that's what we're hoping for. Then we'll have the Sunday night game that will come your way. And tomorrow night, Lions and Packers, the Monday night game, 7:30 pregame kickoff at 8:15. That's tomorrow night. That's what we have coming up for you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So be sure and listen up for that. Think about the things that you heard Coach Quinn. If you see some things differently happening with the defense, you heard it here. He said, hey, we're not opposed to doing some things differently, changing some things up, you know, with defense. Maybe some things with the personnel, maybe some things schematically, just to get some success. Either way, you got to get some pressure on this quarterback who is going to move. He's going to try to extend plays. He's going to try to make some plays. You know, and so you'll see what happens with him. But at the same time, you know, you got to find some things that work, some things to get in his head early in the game. Go out and take something away from him that he likes to do. Let him, you know, and some pass rush. Be nice to get a sack or two early in the game. And then just some pressure. Make him hurry up with some of those passes that he throws. Set the table for the secondary. You know, give them some help. Put some pressure in, some bad passes, some throws, and get some interceptions today. Those are some things that you look for with the defense. To get the pass rush, put some bad things in the mind of Kyler Murray. Gets him to make some mistakes, some miscues. That's what you're looking to do. If you can do those things, you know, great way to start the game. And let's see then if the offense can do what they must do. Some consistency from that offensive line resulting in a win for the Falcons.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.